Thankful for the grace of God. Amen. God is good. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And we're going to just kind of keep your Bibles open. We're going to be looking at the end of chapter 2 and also the beginning of chapter 3 here tonight. So again, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. We'll give you a moment to turn there. Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. Tonight we're going to just kind of deal with some thoughts, and I'm pretty sure you've heard this before, or studied these verses before. I'm pretty sure I'm sure Pastor Glenn over the years has probably dealt along these lines. But you know, I've been pastoring now since I was 26 years old. I'm a ripe age of 33. I had a lot more hair when I came here than what I have now. And I think I've aged a few years. That's not your fault. It's just the nature of the calling. Amen. But, you know, over the years, you kind of, as a pastor, you're learning people. You're learning how to deal with different spiritual maturity levels. You know, sometimes you deal with new converts, people. Sometimes somebody comes in that maybe has been saved, but maybe is ignorant about some things. And it's always your endeavor to find the heart of God for each person. You know, it's a challenge sometimes because, you know, you gotta feed the whole flock. Amen. Every lamb's not the same age, if you would, spiritually. And, you know, I think back, I'm taking a class in pastoral ministry, and I've never had to do this before, but they forced me as a pastor to come up with a philosophy of ministry. Now, what is that? You know, I get called to preach. I never think of a philosophy of ministry, but what is your calling? What do you do? And I chose to write about there in the book of John, where the Lord looks at Peter and says, "Lovest thou me?" And what does Peter say back? "Yeah, Lord, you know I love you." And what does the Lord say to him three different times? "Feed my sheep." And he also says, "Feed my lambs." Some translations say, "You tend the flock." And so I understand this, that a love for Christ is instantly correlated with a love for his flock. You can't say you love Jesus and not love his sheep, if you understand what I'm saying. You can't say you love the Lord and not love the flock of God. We know it's an effort. We know it's a challenge. Small churches are relational. We all know each other. It doesn't take much something to happen in the church. We know about it. We kind of discern each other. And but it's true tonight. What we're going to deal with is I'm going to ask a question. Are you spiritual, are you natural, or are you carnal? Now, have you ever been maybe to a theme park? It's there in the malls, or if you've ever been to like a tourist attracted area, and you find a map that kind of shows you where you are and where different things are, and usually on that map there's kind of like a red dot that says, "You are here." Aren't you glad that red dot's there? Because if you don't know where you are, you don't know how to get to where you're going. Well, here tonight I want to do that. I want you to kind of search your own heart. Everybody in this room tonight, you fall in one of these categories. You do. Sometimes you may fall in one and then kind of move to the other, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want you to look there in your Bibles, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. It says this, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God." Do you notice that? The natural man. "For they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." We're going right into chapter 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto Ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? What we would discover in that text that I just read to you and what we're going to do here tonight, I'm going to introduce you to three different people. We're going to talk about Mr. Natural. We're going to talk about Mr. Carnal. We're going to talk about Mr. Spiritual. Well, if you're a lady, Mrs., you understand what I'm saying. So tonight we're going to find out which category do you fall in. I'm not asking you to cry out, Brother Derek, I'm this. I'm asking you to search your hearts, to pray about this, and ask God to help you. Would you pray with me here tonight? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your love. We are nothing without you, Lord, and we need your help tonight. God, only you know your sheep. God, I cannot discern the heart of every man or woman. God, as I discern my own heart, God, I realize that the enemy fights, and we are warring against the enemy, and not only the enemy, but the flesh and the world. I would tonight you'd help us, God, in this time. God, highlight in our hearts where we are, how to maintain unity among us and touch your people. In Jesus' name, we thank you for your goodness. And everybody said, amen. Now, I'm not going to do a great survey of the book of 1 Corinthians, but if you survey the book, you're very familiar with the nature of it. There in Corinth, in the Corinthian city there, when you study the nature of the city and the debauchery of the city, these people have gotten saved out of that. The Apostle Paul and his ministry, there's much that we could talk about there. We realize that this is a very gifted church. You would see that later on in the book of 1 Corinthians. They do not lack charisma. They do not lack giftedness, if you would. They do not lack any form of personality. There's a lot going on in this church. But there's a problem in this church, as we would find, that even though many of them are saved, and even though these folks are born again, they are warring against the mentality of that city, the philosophies of man. You would find, as you survey this book, they talk about the foolishness of God, which to this world, the wisdom of God seems as foolishness to this world. They cannot discern it. They do not see the very things that you and I would see as being born again. So in this, we are introduced to three different people. We are introduced to those which are spiritual, those that are natural, and those that are carnal. And now tonight, what we're going to do, we're going to look at the natural man first. We're going to look at the carnal man second. And lastly, we are going to look at the ones that are spiritual. It's important here tonight that we realize that you can be born again, you can be saved, yet you can be somebody that is carnal. Not that you should stay there. And I'm nobody's ultimate judge. I cannot sit here and tell a person how long they can be considered a carnal Christian, if you would. And we'll talk about that here in a little bit. But I know this, God's goal for your life is to move you into spiritual maturity where you are able to be the man of God or the woman of God that He wants you to be. You've got to be able to take strong meat. You've got to be fully grown, if you would. You got to grow up. You got to be whole. You got to come to the full stature of Christ that He wants in your life. You cannot be in and out and up and down. God wants you to be spiritual. The first person we're going to look at here tonight is Mr. Natural. Mr. Natural. Now I want you to notice this. The natural man cannot grow. We're talking about the idea of maturity. Maturity is the idea of growth. And we'll talk about that more in detail later. But every believer should be growing. Amen. Every believer should be growing. You should not be in the same spiritual condition as you were some years back. From basic study, going to church, having relationships in church, going through trials and testing. You should constantly be expanding yourself and growing into full maturity. But notice here tonight, in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14, we are introduced to what's called the natural man. The natural man cannot grow in God because it's impossible. Why? Because the natural man is not even saved. They are not even born again. Look there if you would in 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Amen. How many of those discernment is very important? We need discernment greatly in these last days. So notice here, number one, what do we know about this natural man? What do we know about this natural woman? Number one, there is no spiritual life there. It would be like, why can't a natural man understand the things of God? Why is it that somebody who is not a part of the kingdom of God, why is it somebody who has not been regenerated by the Spirit of God, why can they not see what you see? Why is it they cannot understand what you understand? Why is it that when you get excited about the things of God, and you get excited about the Word of God, and you get excited about going to church, and you get excited about living holiness and overcoming the world and being around other Christians, they look at that and they'll say, I just do not understand. I just do not get it. It'd be like one writer said this. He said, if you plant a seed, you put a seed in the ground, it grows. But the natural man, he cannot grow. It's like putting a dead stick in the ground and expecting to get a tree. It's not going to produce any life. The Bible tells us in John 3 that you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless ye be born again. They can't even see it. They can't even comprehend it. They cannot even know about it. It just seems completely strange to them. The Bible tells us, we get a little bit of understanding when you study the text or this idea throughout the New Testament. The book of Jude in verse 19 says, they have not the Spirit. They have not the Spirit. Those who are not saved and those who are natural men and women, they live by the natural birth. They're born into this world, and you are not born into this world born again. You are not born into this world regenerated. Everybody must give their heart to Christ. I'm adamant about that. I even have been working it with teenagers over the years, and I asked them a question. I say, have you been saved? And they would say, well, yeah, I think I've been saved. I said, no, I didn't ask you if you thought you'd been saved. Have you been saved? They said, well, yes. I said, where were you when you got born again? Now, I'm not saying you have to give me the day and the time, but you can remember the place and the time in your life where you became alive unto God. You were alienated, but now you are brought near unto Him. So those who are natural have not the Spirit. They do not have any spiritual life in them. They have also, notice this, they have no spiritual appreciation. Listen to what it says. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. That word receiveth there is interesting. It means welcomes. They do not welcome the things of God. You and I, if you're saved here tonight, you ought to welcome the things of God in your life. You ought to welcome doctrine and teaching. And even when you're wrong, you ought to welcome correction. You ought to welcome things into your life. There ought to be a desire in you to say, hey, I want to make it to heaven. I want to live pleasing unto God. If I'm wrong, God, I welcome you, Lord. I welcome the things of God. We ought to welcome it all. We ought to welcome the Holy Ghost. We ought to welcome worship. We ought to welcome devotion. We ought to welcome church attendance. We ought to welcome tithing. We ought to welcome forgiveness. We ought to welcome unity. The things of God should have an attraction to those who are born again, because those who are natural receiveth not the things of God. They do not welcome them. They do not appreciate them. An unsaved man can appreciate a lot of things, but they do not appreciate the things of God. You know, it's possible for somebody to come to this church, visit, or a tent, and say, you know what? I like Sister Kayla's voice. You know what? I like the fact that the church has fellowship. I like music. I like, somebody could come in and say, I like the way that church looks. They could welcome the idea of going to potlucks. They could welcome the idea of going to a picnic. There's a lot of things that a lost person, an unsaved person, a natural person, a lot of things they can appreciate. They can appreciate the budget of the church. They can appreciate the missions of the church, if you would. But it is impossible for them to appreciate the deep spiritual things of God. As a matter of fact, those who are unsaved and those who are natural, when you begin to press them to be spiritual, they get offended. They leave. They run. I like what one person said one time. They're either going to get out, they're going to show out, or lash out. They're going to do something. They don't like the idea of spirituality. Now we look at this. I like, now here's a quote, and you ever heard of Adrian Rogers? I believe his name was. He was like a Baptist preacher years ago. He used to come on the radio. He said this: the natural man cannot get excited about the things of God. You might as well expect a dog to appreciate opera music. I don't know anything about dogs and opera music, but I don't know how much I don't like it. Just to be honest with you, you know, if I have a preference, you ain't gonna hear me blaring out with any opera music in my home. Notice this. They also do not have any spiritual ability. The reason that he or she cannot understand spiritual things, because they lack the ability to do so, in the sense they are not born again. They do not have the Spirit. Verse 14 says this, spiritual things, it says, they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them. They're foolish. The word foolish there, study it in the Greek, bears out the idea of a moron. They think we're morons over here. They look at us and they think we are crazy. I've said it to you 100 times. Look, I can go out here and debate an atheist till I'm blue in the face. I can prepare in every apologetical form I can. I can even be ready to give answers. But unless the Spirit of God touches that man or woman, they're going to look at me and think I'm crazy for believing what I believe and doing what I do. There's foolishness. They think we are morons. They think we are crazy. They do not hear his voice. They do not see the beauty of this. Where you and I get excited, it gets us on the edge of our seats, if you would, to know that Jesus Christ is alive, that he lived a life, that he died for us, that he rose again, that he ascended to the right hand of the Father. It ignites our soul. We love to worship about it. We love to sing about it. We love to donate towards it. We love to support it. But the world thinks that is crazy. But is it all right for us that are born again to look at them and say, you know what? I think a lot of things you do is pretty foolish. Right? I'm not going to go through everything. You know, there's a lot of things I look at the world and think's foolish. I think getting drunk till you fall down and don't remember anything, I think it's foolish. I think it's foolish to put a needle in your arm and do drugs. I think it's foolish to disrupt the unity of your family and your home. I think it's foolish to abandon your wife and to abandon your children. I think it's foolish to live only for yourself. They have no ability. They cannot see it. That's what the natural man is. Let's move to the second. Let's look at Mr. Carnal here tonight. Notice here what it talks about. It says in 1 Corinthians 3:1, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Hear me. It's possible. Now we're moving into those who are saved. First thing, what have you noticed in the beginning of verse 1 there of chapter 3? He says, and I, brethren. He doesn't refer to them as heathens. He calls them brethren. He gives them that term of saying, look, I accept you as a brother in Christ. I accept you as a sister in Christ. I accept you as one who has put your faith in the Lord. But notice this, when you move into Christianity, you are either spiritual or carnal. You are either spiritual or carnal. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, what we need in these last days, we need there to be a sifting in the church. We need there to be a sifting in our own experiences. We need things to be revealed. Again, I've mentioned it this morning. For years, it had been popular to be a Christian. It has been popular to go to church. It's been popular to be a part of a youth group. But that does not mean that you are spiritual. It is the will of God that you grow in the Lord, that you mature in the Lord, that you live a sanctified life, and that you do not get hung up on the carnal things in this world. Now, I've always heard this, you know, being raised in church. You know, even when I was, you know, a young man and not married and looking to get married, courting, they said, make sure she's spiritual. I didn't know what that meant at that time. Didn't fully understand it. And every now and then, I remember sometimes there was something brought up. And they said, Brother Derek, I'm just going to be honest with you. The pastor would tell me, he said, she's a good girl, but she's carnal. Now, I don't know what my pastor said about me. He might have said the same thing. But he said, she's carnal. What do you mean by that? She does not seek after God as she should. She's still growing in the Lord. She needs to mature. She needs to get her priorities right. Come on now. Do you know that spirituality doesn't happen by accident? It is possible to be saved for decades and not be spiritual. I'm gonna say that again. It is possible for you to come to church and be in church for decades and not be a spiritual man or woman. You can be carnal. That word carnal there, it mentioned twice, sometimes with some different variants. It's the word of sarkos there. It's the idea of fleshly. Rather than being motivated by the Spirit, he or she is carnal. They're saved, but they're a babe in Christ. But the sad thing is, people can stay a babe in Christ for far too long. You know, it's cute when Braxton said dada at a certain age. But I'm telling you right now, if all he could say was dada, I'd try to figure out what's wrong. Right? Why? Because a carnal man or a carnal woman, their growth is restricted. They do not grow as they should. Now, I'm going to throw a little bit more information at you here tonight, because this idea of carnal believers seems to be a little contradictory sometimes. And there's a lot of different discussions about this, but Abundant Life Tabernacle is a Pentecostal church. Right? If you didn't know that, we are. I believe with everything within me that a man and a woman ought to get saved, sanctified, and full baptized with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues, full of the Holy Ghost, and maintain that fullness. You know, I've seen people before. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, but I hadn't spoken in tongues since. I'm going to tell you right now, the initial evidence, it's the initial evidence. But there'll be a lot more that flows. There'll be a lot more that grows. Brothers and sisters here tonight, Brother Derek, from your Pentecostal perspective. Now, if you go across the street to the Baptist church, they may have a different way they define carnal believers. I think all of us can agree this, that carnal believers are those who are saved yet immature. But I would go on here to say this tonight. Paul could not speak to those here, because I do not believe that the Corinthians, some of them, they were not Spirit-filled. Some of them may, obviously, some of them were. Some of them were used in the gifts of the Spirit. But from a Pentecostal perspective, I think a part of your maturity is getting baptized in the Holy Ghost. Going on to believe this. How can you teach it if you don't believe it? How can you proclaim it if you don't believe it? How can you live it if you don't experience it? You need to be full of the Holy Ghost and remain full of the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, if I quit teaching that, it would disappear in this church. I'm not saying nobody would ever have it, wouldn't have an experience. But there's some Pentecostal churches quit preaching and teaching it. And churches got used to not having it. Hear me tonight. I've met people before, the reason they don't seek for it, because they don't think they really need it. Say amen. I can do just as good without it. Can you? You think the Apostle Peter thought that? If the Apostle Paul was here tonight standing behind this pulpit, number one, I'd be sitting there. And I'd take a picture with him. Do you think he would teach a cessationist teaching? That the Holy Ghost has ceased? And that tongues is no longer available for people in the church? And the gifts of the... You think he would teach? You think the Apostle Peter would get up here and say, yeah, you know, back in Acts chapter 2, that was just for us guys. You know, don't worry about it. You think he'd teach that? No. He would tell you, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Matter of fact, the Apostle Paul would even kind of wonder, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost and why not? So you understand here tonight, what can define a carnal believer? Now, that's my Pentecostal perspective, and I'd love to talk to you about it sometime if you have a disagreement about it, because I believe in Pentecostalism with every fiber in my bone. But also here in this immediate text, what does this mean? It means they are babes in Christ, and they had remained that way way too long. Basically, let me put it this way. Some folks just need to grow up spiritually. There's some things you ought to get a handle on. Get over. Now, we live in a time, I don't offend nobody, Brother Derek, with that stuff. You know, everybody's growing at their own pace. It comes a point in time, somebody's got to say, hey, wake up. Get going. You cannot stay in that condition. Some urgency. Some people live with unforgiveness and bitterness in their heart for years. Somebody needs to say, no, you can't do that. You can't live that way. You can't live with unreconciled relationships. You can't do it. But this passive spirited generation, and we are passive spirited. We need men to be men. Lead their homes, lead their marriages, and men help lead this church. Women, I'm not overlooking you, but I'm giving a call to the men tonight. Be spiritual. Men, amen. Be spiritual. Lead your marriage. A church that has strong men will be a strong church. Amen. Act like men. Quit yourselves like men, the Apostle Paul would say. Man up. Stand up. Rise up. Be a soldier. You cannot be carnal any longer. You cannot be a babe in Christ. The problem is this, and it's been the problem way too long. We have churches that are full of women that are more spiritual than the men. And what happened, and I'm gonna just be honest with you. I'm not going to get into a big old debate about it. I'll tell you what happened years ago. We had a bunch of lack of spiritual women. I mean, spiritual men in the church. So women had to step to the forefront. Women had to start being the spiritual leaders. It ought to have never been. The men are to lead the family. If you don't like that, you don't like the Bible. We need a generation of men that are spiritual and not carnal. We need men not only to be Holy Ghost filled and spiritual, but to be consistent. I get frustrated as well. For those, look, I'm going to be honest with you. People that say they're baptized in the Holy Ghost and live with inconsistent lives. Up and down, in and out. Inconsistency ought not be. So understand this. What was the problem here? They could only take milk and not solid food. The Apostle Paul is saying to them, look, I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it. Neither are you able to bear it now. Apostle Paul is saying, I'm going to have to continue to feed you like babies. The reason I have to come here with elementary things is because you couldn't bear it and you still can't bear it. I'm going to go a little further here. They have this restricted development. A carnal Christian is a man or a woman who has this restricted development. Now again, there is a time for a legitimate childhood. Hear me. I understand when you get born again, you don't know it all, nor do you understand it all. You don't have it all developed. You've got to grow in the Lord. I believe that. But as the Lord shows you light, and as you begin to come into comprehension, you are to walk in the light that you have to the best of your ability. Say that you mess up, get up.
Say that you do fail. You have an advocate with the Father. You can be convicted by the Holy Ghost, chastised even if necessary, but you continue on in the way. And as you're continuing on in the way, you begin to grow in the Lord. You begin to develop in the Lord. You begin to become the man and the woman that you need to be. But the problem is, we can have members of our church that have been saved 3, 4, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and they're still spiritual babes. That is a problem.
What is the problem? You have to restrict the diet. I've been to some churches before and preached basic, practical things. And I've had people come to me and said, I have never heard anything like that in my life. I can't speak for every part of the country, but I know here in the part of the country in which we live, those who are raised in Pentecostalism, I have preached funerals in North Carolina among some dead Pentecostal holiness people that used to believe right and live right and were on fire for God and would kick up the sawdust in the camp meeting. And now it'd probably take the FBI to find them praying. Dust on their Bibles and sin in their hearts. You preach a funeral. And I mean a funeral now. I mean, you're celebrating a life. And they'll say, that's the most anointing preaching I've heard in 20 years. And you're like, huh? And that's nothing to do with me. But it's the fact that the church state is in a bad place. We are so underdeveloped. We have stunted growth. We have retarded growth, if you would, restricted growth. And they cannot receive the deep and spiritual things of God. When it talks about milk and strong meat, there are those people that when you give them truth, you can only give them truth to a certain depth. They can't tolerate it. They can't stand it. And I give honor where honor is due. Brother Glenn has done a wonderful job keeping this book open in this church and developing spiritually mature people. But just because you have some mature experiences and can understand something doesn't guarantee you're spiritual either. You got to have more than that. Let's see here. What's the evidence of the Corinthian church? What is the problem here? How do we know in this immediate context, how do we know that they are carnal? He says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is envying and strife and divisions, and ye are yet carnal and walk as men. How do we know that the Corinthian church was carnal? Carnal Christians, and they can only take milk and not strong meat, and they're babes in Christ. Number one, they were full of envy. Enviness, zealous, tied to emulations. It would be some of the works of the flesh in Galatians 5 and 20. It means zeal, but it's zeal in a negative sense. Do you know that you can envy things in the church? And envy in your heart, a zealousy to find a critical spirit all the time, is a sign that you are carnal? Where do you get that from, Brother Derek? The Bible? So you know what that means for Derek? If I begin to envy, it's not the fruit of the Spirit. It's the works of the what? And if I give in to that envying, I can move away from being spiritual to being that which is carnal. And in that carnality, through conviction and chastisement, if I don't get it straight with God, I can eventually move into condemnation. God forbid. You cannot maintain and be a carnal person forever. If you know what is right and you don't do it, it is a what? It's a sin. So if you know what's right, do it. Secondly, it says strife. Idea of contentions there. It's the same idea when you study this word strife there. It's the same idea of the spiritual state of Israel in the wilderness when they always murmured and argued against Moses and the leadership. Now again, we've said it before. How many's ever read through the Old Testament and the Pentateuch and looked at them children of Israel and said, Moses, I'd have hit that rock a long time ago. I would have. And one person said, if Moses, and it was a joke, this is a complete joke. He said, Moses, you know, if he had knew everything, he was going to have to deal with them hard-headed people. He'd have looked at Pharaoh and said, let my people stay. Let my people stay. But he didn't know all what he was facing. As they would go through the wilderness in constant bickering, quarreling, telling you, Abundant Life Tabernacle, I don't want to be a carnal church. I don't want to be a carnal person. I don't. My heart, and I mean this with every bit that is within me, my heart is not to build a name for myself. If you ever see that in me, let me know. I don't want my name on the side of nothing. I'm not against saying, I understand it's all right to honor people. I'm not talking about that. I'm not looking for somebody to say, right there at Abundant Life Tabernacle, Derek Jones is doing a great and mighty thing. I don't want that. My heart is for the glory of His name. And I don't like quarreling. I don't like divisions. I don't like strife. I don't like envying. Why? It is signs of carnality. But it goes on to say in verse 4, it says, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and the other says, I am of Apollos, and it would go on down to say there, I am of Cephas there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, there is this factualism, if you would. There is this personality. Worshippers, they like this preacher over that preacher, and this person over that person, and this deacon over that deacon. That is of the flesh. Your loyalty is to Jesus Christ. We have personality chasers all in America. There's some people that chase personalities on the TV. There's people that chase personalities. If I could get there and get prayed for by so-and-so, everything would be all right. No, if you get your heart right with God and just surrender all to the Lord, everything will be all right. It'd be like in the Corinthian church. Imagine if we had five of you said, I am of Pastor Glenn Jones. And five of you said, I am of Pastor Derek Jones. And others would say, I'm of a Pastor Shane Cook. And a few, I'm out of people, I'm sorry. And others would say, I am of Brother Matthew Jones. You see the chaos? But the leadership can't let that happen. Because if you do, you become a carnal church. You become a divided church. This isn't about Glenn, Derek, Shane, or Matthew. This isn't about this deacon or that deacon. It's about Jesus and His name and His glory and His testimony in this community. Amen. So notice this. That's what it means to be carnal in this immediate context. Lastly, what's a spiritual man? Number one, a spiritual man lives by the Spirit. Chapter 2 and verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of man save or except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. If you're not careful, and please hear me, you can think more like the world than you do like the mind of Christ. We have got to be careful, church, that we don't adopt the thoughts of this world. We got to be careful that we don't take on the spirit of this world. Not trying to be relevant, to grow and all of these things and let down the fence, if you would, and just let's see what we can get away with and still get to heaven. That's the spirit of the world. The spirit of the world does not think like you. They do not think like me. They do not think like this Bible. They can kill babies and don't think nothing about it. They can be immoral and perverted and don't think nothing about it. You and I do not have the spirit of the world. The spirit of God is different than that of the spirit of the world. You've got to be spiritual minded. Amen. Got to be. We learn by the Spirit. Notice what it says in verses 12 and 14. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here tonight. We have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You ever heard this old saying, I feel the witness of the Spirit? You ever heard that before? The witness of the Spirit is something that the spiritual things in you, or when you're praying about something, you feel the amen, lack of a better phrase, the amen of the Holy Ghost. That's right. And number one, it's always going to agree with the Word of God. Always. 100%. So we have here, notice this, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God is giving you some things, and He wants you to know about them. Which things we also speak, not in the words of man's wisdom teacheth. How many knows that this world teaches different things than what we teach? I was teaching the teenage class this morning, me, Dakota, and Sister Abby there. talking about 6 days of creation. How many knows they don't teach that in public school? They don't. They think that is completely crazy. The altar of science has a lot of worship in America. It does. The altar of science in America, as one writer said some time back, I read, he said, scientists have become the new priesthood. We look to them for the cues. We look to them for the direction. We look for them to teach us what to teach our kids in school and how we should think about creation. No, no, no. The Bible says that God did this in 6 days, and I can believe it. The Spirit of God bears that. It's not the wisdom that the world teaches, but the Holy Ghost teaches. And guess what? There's witness in my spirit to that. We can go down the list. One writer, John, would say this, and Jesus, John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given from heaven. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's saying that the Spirit of God is active in your very language, in your very mind, in the very way that you govern your life. You must be spiritual. Paul would say, in my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but by the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. I want that to be the testimony of Abundant Life Tabernacle. Not that Brother Derek got up there and gave you the headlines from the news every Sunday. Not that Brother Derek always brought in his personal opinions about everything. But I want there to be demonstration. I want there to be power. I want the Spirit. I want the Spirit to bear witness with your spirit. But when I preach the Word of God and expound the Word of God, I want something to rise up in you and say, yes, that's right. I want to have faith. I don't want to fear. I do want to stand. I do want to live holiness. I do want to go down the right road. Why is that? Because God's Word says it, and Spirit bears witness with the Spirit of God. Let there be the demonstration of Spirit and of power. I don't want Brother Derek to be known for logical, for oratory speech, for sermonizing. But I want the Spirit of God to move in our lives. It goes on to say, it talks about this, we're liberated by the Spirit. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Brothers and sisters, you've got to have discernment. If you don't have discernment, brothers and sisters, you'll not make it in this world. You'll not live victoriously. Carnal believers have no discernment. Babes in Christ sometimes, when they first get saved, you can tell their discernment is impaired. They don't see as they should. But again, if that goes on some years in your life and you've been serving God for years and you still have no discernment, pray. It says you got to judge all things. I'll read to you a quote from a writer. He said, when I read the newspaper, he said, I may have my reading glasses on, but I've got my Bible glasses on first. When I listen to the news, when I'm in a conversation, I can run everything through the grid of God's Word and through the Holy Spirit that's within me. God gives me inner light, and God gives you that. You can make an examination on the basis of God's Word and the teaching of the Holy Spirit, and you can make moral and spiritual judgments. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. You can't think like the world and be the church that you need to be. You can't think like the world and be the Christian that you need to be. I ain't gonna be much longer. Let me just read this. I'm gonna get away from my notes. I'm gonna read my text here, get through this. I'm gonna read two verses right there. I mentioned it in 1 Corinthians 2:15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet the himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the what? The mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. Christ thought it not robbery to be equal with God. What did he do? He made himself of no reputation. Humble yourself. Right here, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to be much longer. I want to pray in these altars. But are you here tonight? Natural, I trust you're born again. If you're not saved here tonight, you need to get born again. But are you carnal? Are you carnal? Have you become carnal? Have you allowed the spirit of this day to so make your mind think like the world that you do not think as you should spiritually? Lastly, are you spiritual? That's where you need to be. Stand to your feet. I want my wife to go to the piano. Now, I could exhaust this point more, but no doubt there's much already been said. But I go back to this saying that I've heard my whole life. You need to be spiritual minded. You need to be spiritual minded. And I would say this again to you as a Pentecostal pastor. I encourage you to get full of the Holy Ghost. Stay full of the Holy Ghost. Look, I know, and I've said it 1,000 times. It's been a strange year. We have not been this way before as a church world. We have not navigated these waters. But I promise you this, God, Jesus, the same yesterday. He's the same. Don't you think that you can still get baptized in the Holy Ghost right in the middle of all this? Matter of fact, I would say you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. You know the old saying in Pentecostal churches, they said, can you make it to heaven without the baptism in the Holy Ghost? And obviously, I believe in justification by faith. But the old saying is, why would you want to live without it? Them old preachers used to say, I don't even want to go to Walmart without the Holy Ghost. Much less live in this fallen, God-forsaken world. You need to be spiritual. Abundant life, be spiritual. Think like Christ. Live sold out to Him. Full of the Holy Ghost. Are you natural, unsaved? Are you carnal? Are you still a babe in Christ? Have you still not grown in the Lord? Can you not receive strong meat? Or are you spiritual? That's my question to you here tonight. Just like you would see on a map, this is where you are. I want you to see where you are tonight. Find you a place to pray. Ask the Lord to help you. I preach nothing with an arrogant spirit here tonight. It's one of pure intentions that I want us all to be spiritual. I want to be more spiritual, not less spiritual in these last days. I want to be more spiritual than I ever was before.